power and the principle of learning. The power and the principle of learning. We have found out that learning has principle and it has power, it has advantage, it has grace to make one move faster in life and in ministry. And we have seen principle as values that has no respect for anyone. If you keep them, they will keep you. If you respect them, they will respect you. Principles are guide, standards that help us walk towards our visions, that help us walk towards the revelation of what the Lord has done for us. Praise the Lord. And so today we'll be looking at same topic, but on a different series. The principle and the power of learning. Let's go to Romans chapter 15, our anchor scripture for this teaching. Romans 15 and from verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. All the things written in the Bible were not written just for us to keep or just for us to have records of them in our Bibles or just for quotation. They are for learning. The scriptures basically are for learning. And when a man is not learning the scriptures, he is abusing the main use of the scripture. When the scripture is no more learned, it means the main purpose, there's a saying that when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. The reason there is abuse in the body of Christ on this, of the scripture, is because the main purpose, which is learning, has been abused. The main purpose of the scripture, which is learning, has been abused. So when people start using the scripture for many other things, not for learning, people use it for different things. Some use it just to quote it, just to have something to say when they want to preach. But there is more to the scripture than that. The main purpose of the scripture is learning. It's learning. Nobody is an island when it comes to the knowledge of the scripture. It is mainly for learning. Praise the Lord. And so we began to see a definition. We saw three definitions on Sunday, but we are going to look at one of them today. Learning is coming to a full awareness. Learning is bringing you into the awareness of the scriptures, of what the scripture says about you, of what the scripture says about Christ, of what the scriptures says about God. And so learning the scripture is coming into the awareness of the revelation, number one, of Christ, because the scripture is centered on one person. The scriptures is centered on one person. One person is the main purpose why the scripture is written, which is Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 39, for you search the scripture, thinking in them ye have eternal life. They are they which testifies of me. So the scripture testifies of Jesus. The scripture testifies of Jesus. It says in the book of Luke chapter 24, if you read from verse 25, Luke 24 from verse 5, say, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning, Moses wrote the first five books of the scripture. He said, beginning at Moses, that is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. He says, at the beginning, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scripture, all in the scripture, the things concerning himself. So when we are learning the scripture, we are learning about somebody, which is Jesus Christ. So we must have that consciousness that whatever we are learning, it surrounds one personality. Surrounds one personality. And so first of all, we must understand that the scripture is for our learning. It's for our learning, and we are learning about one person. It is in the learning of this person that we are revealed. As much as we learn about him, we are revealed through him. And so people have abused this. A lot of people learn the scripture, but they are not learning about Christ. So people learn, they learn finance in the scripture, they learn business in the scripture, they learn marriage in the scripture. But the main purpose why the scripture is written is that Christ might be learned through the scripture. Praise God. So learning is coming to full awareness of Christ in the scripture. Learning of the scripture is coming to the full consciousness, the full awareness of the person of Christ in the scripture. Praise the Lord. So learning is coming to full awareness or consciousness of a truth or an established spiritual reality through study and gaining uncommon access to wisdom through revelation. Praise the Lord. From here, we are going to look at the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is this scripture saying? That to become approved unto God, to become sound unto God, to become a true minister of the New Testament, to become an epistle of the New Testament, you have to study. Study what? Study the scripture. He said, rightly dividing the word of, what is rightly dividing the word of truth? Understanding the scriptures in the right context, laying scriptures by scriptures, putting scriptures to interpret scriptures, dividing, putting scripture in its right context, using scriptures to interpret scripture. Even as we are learning, we don't learn the scripture using human understanding. People learn the scriptures in different ways. Some people learn the scripture by applying human philosophy to interpret the scripture. No, the scripture cannot be learned that way. You only learn the scripture through the help of the Holy Spirit. All manner of teachings today, there's a traditional approach to the learning of the scripture. There's a philosophic approach to the learning of the scripture. There is natural human approach. All manner of approaches to learning of the scripture. But the most approved one is to learn the scripture by rightly dividing, using the scripture, laying scripture by scripture to interpret themselves. And so people learn the scripture in different ways. They use different terminologies, different theologies, different methodologies, different patterns. They use different ways people learn the scripture. But there's only one way you can learn the scripture. A lot of people teach the scripture today, but their approach is a traditional approach. They preach the scripture from a traditional approach. And so when they teach you not the truth of the scripture, because they have a traditional approach. They have their culture. They learn the scripture through the lens of tradition. So we can be looking at the same scripture, but with different lenses. So what you see depends on what lens through which you are looking at it. So you can be looking at it from a tradition point of view with the lens of tradition. And so whatever you see in the scripture, you bring it down. You try to interpret it using your culture, using your tradition to present what God is saying. And so that's why there's a lot of doctrine, traditional doctrine. Even though they have references in the scripture, they will tell you it is in the Bible. Why? As they were learning it from a traditional point of view. And so we have philosophy point of view. People have a philosophy lens through which they learn the scripture. They look at it from human standard. They look at it, and there are such people even in the Bible. The Bible says a man like Apollos who taught the scripture but knew only the baptism of John. And so he did not even know about Jesus. Jesus is the center of the scriptures. And so all manner of teachings, all manner of patterns of learning that has put many people into dilemma. Some are confused. They don't even know what exactly the scripture is all about. Praise the Lord. So the lens you use matter. What view? How did you approach? Now there's something called exegesis. Exegesis is to learn the scripture trying to use your own opinion to learn the scripture. In syngenesis is allowing the scripture to minister to you. There are two ways to learn. Exegesis means trying to use your own way, your own human opinion to learn the scripture or to interpret the scripture. While in syngenesis is allowing the scripture to interpret itself unto you, not using your own human idea, not trying to look at it from your own human. So exegesis, I allow the scripture. Exegesis, I want to interpret his God with my own human idea. So there are two ways people learn. Some people we allow, which is exegesis, they allow the scripture to teach them. They allow the scripture to show them. But exegesis, using your own outside human idea to look at the scripture. Praise God. So we must, it's not just about learning. It's about how we approach. It's the approach that matters. There are a lot of students who sit in the class to learn. One lecturer, one teacher, teaching all of them. But different students have different perception. Their perception differs. Their understanding differs. So the one teacher teaches them, same time, same classroom, same subject. But when they are writing exams, when they go to write, you will see in their answers to their examination question that they all have different understanding. Though the teaching came from one lecturer, the same subject, the same topic, the same class, the same time they are being taught. But they have different pattern they have learned from the lecturer. And so their results will prove. And so people's day-to-day life and activity is a proof of how much they have learned. It's like the life, the outside world is like an examination of the quality of the world that we are exposed to. And so when we go out every day, the result we prove, the result we show is actually a picture of how much and how we learn the scripture. That's why we have our motto, living the word of God by proofs. We ought to live the word. And so anything outside that is actually a pointer to how you are learning and what you are learning. If you are a true student, a true learner of the scripture, your life will prove it. Your life will show it. The way a student will prove what he has thoroughly learned by the results he has after examination, that's how our life should prove. Should prove what we have learned in the scripture. Praise God. And so we are going to be looking at something today. One of the factors, we mentioned about six or five factors that it enhances learning. Number one, we talk about test and hunger. There must be test and hunger. You must have it. Now we talk about listening. You must listen. You must read. You must be the desire to read. Then recording, keeping record of the scripture is another important thing. Practicing. But today we are going to be looking at a few things. Again, we are going to be looking at acquiring study materials. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. You cannot learn without study material. If you are a student, you can't be a student without having materials, books, writing materials that you will use to learn. So we are going to look at Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth. So there must be a need to buy the truth. The truth there is talking about revelation, information. Buy the truth. Buy relevant materials that will aid you. Buy the truth. So there must be a conscious investment in study material. Not like I just find one book. You must have a budget for study material. You must have a budget, monthly budget. And this is the amount I will spend on acquiring knowledge. This is the amount I will spend on advancing in learning. So there must be a desire for advanced learning. And there can never be advanced learning without getting advanced material. So there must be desire to buy books. Buy books, buy Bibles, different versions of the Bible, if possible, concordance. So that's one of the main things, to buy scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 13. Apostle Paul here, talking about material, he said, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Scapus, when thou comest, bring with thee the books, especially the parchment." Apostle Paul is a studious personality. He was to Timothy. He said, "When you are coming, don't forget my books and parchment." Parchment is like jotter. My books. This is a picture of somebody who has value for learning. He said, "Come." He said, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, and when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchment. Bring with thee the books. When you are coming, bring books." And so when, how do you know a man who is learning is a man with books? A man who desire learning is a man with books, seen with books, identify with books. Always a loving somebody. A man who has a learning environment. So it's not enough to have music on your phones, to have videos on your phones, movies on your phones. There is need for books. You see, and parchment, jotter. One of the key ways to learn is to have a writing material all the time. Something could just be laid on your heart. Praise the Lord. So it's key, it's very important that we acquire study material. We spend our money in purchasing materials. Very, very important. Praise the Lord. So we are going to be looking at few other things. Another factor for learning, that enhances learning, is to create a learning atmosphere. There are some atmosphere that are not suitable for learning. People have different atmosphere they create around their house, they create around their homes. Some people create a fun atmosphere, just always fun, everywhere hitting music, you know, a fun atmosphere. Some people like an adventure atmosphere with picture of different adventures and all that. Now, some people equally can create a learning atmosphere. A learning atmosphere is an atmosphere filled with learning materials. Everywhere around you, you have books, you have quotations on your board, you have something that is, you know, probably sing, preaching, you have a tapes on your table that is always preaching, or you have audio Bible, you have, you know, videos of the scriptures like the story of Daniel. And so you must equally learn to create an atmosphere. One of the atmosphere for learning is to have a table and a chair. If you want to know a good student, you must find with him a table and a chair. You are not a good learner when you don't have a comfortable place for learning, a comfortable atmosphere. So you need a table and a chair. Bishop Abio said, "I don't respect a man who does not have a reading table and a chair." A lot of people have different things in their house. They have nice kitchen equipment for cooking and all that. But there must be a table meant for learning. If at all you are going to buy anything, that is very important as a start in your house, a table and a chair for learning, designed for learning. So creating an atmosphere that enhances learning is important. As soon as you enter into that atmosphere, you are triggered into learning because of the setting of the atmosphere. As soon as you enter into the atmosphere, you are triggered because everything speaks about learning. Everything speaks about learning. Your television programs is more of teachable things, preachings, teachings, creating an atmosphere. You have on your phones messages, You have, everywhere you go, you are carrying the atmosphere of learning. Everywhere you go, you are carrying the atmosphere of learning. Everywhere you go, messages on your phone, audio books, PDF writing materials, everywhere you go, carry. So one of the ways to actually advance in learning is creating an atmosphere. Let's look at Philippians 4 and verse 9. Philippians 4 and verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and see in me, do. Last on Sunday, we were talking about doing, that your learning process is not complete until you are a practitioner of what you learned. But you can't practice what you don't know. It is when you have learned that you are able to apply what you have learned, and it does it. It is called wisdom. Practicing what you have learned is when you are said to be wise. You are not a wise person even though you have knowledge accumulated in your jotters, in your phones. You are called wise because you practice what you learned. You are called wise. In fact, wisdom is application of knowledge. Wisdom is application, right application of knowledge. So what Apostle Paul is saying here is that when you have learned, the things you learned, you receive, and you heard and see in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So when we learn something, it's not enough to learn. We are called wise because we practice what we have learned. That's the definition. Simple definition of wisdom is application of knowledge. Right application of knowledge. That's the definition of wisdom. And so, learning does not really make you wise. It is practicing what you have learned that makes you wise. Praise God. That is where the power of learning is made manifest. The power of learning is displayed in the place of practice. The power of learning is not made manifest just at learning point or storage point. It is learned, it is displayed when we practice what we have learned. Praise God. Let's look at Titus chapter 2 from verse 11. Titus chapter 2 from verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying godliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Verse 11. Therefore, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. When it appeared, what was it doing? Teaching us that. One of the that grace there is talk is personifying Jesus. Pistos of grace. What was the essence of grace? Grace is to be learned. It's a grace began to teach us. And so how do we learn grace? We learn grace by the study of the scriptures. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 or verse 2 or thereabout. It says, for grace and peace be multiplied unto you through knowledge. Grace and peace. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, grace is made multiplied. Grace is multiplied through knowledge. Grace in our life and peace in our life is in the proportion of how much we give ourselves to learning of the scriptures. Praise God. So, it depends on how much we give ourselves to learning, especially learning of the scripture. The Jews have a culture, and one of the cultures they have is the culture of learning. And that's why today you see the Jews are very, very outstanding. Behind most invention, behind most innovations are the Jews. They have a natural culture of learning. They like to know. They like their inquisitive set of race. They like making inquiries. They expose their children to study. Even as their children begin to grow, they begin to expose them to vigorous learning. And that's why they are very powerful, not because God is just with them, but because they have learned over time the culture. It was the same culture that Jesus put on in Luke chapter 2, the The Bible says he was with doctors, teachers. He was both hearing them. He was learning from them. At the same time, he was asking questions. Luke chapter 2 and from verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He was hearing them because he wants to learn from them. Both hearing them. He was hearing because he wants to learn. Hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. But he was first a learner. And so as he learned, he too was sharing what he knows. And when they saw him, they were amazed at his mother said, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I saw this sorrowing." And all that. Now, verse 45. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them. That's the one of the attributes that we discuss about a learner. Is somebody who has a listening ear. Who has a listening ear. So, Jesus did not just come and start teaching the scriptures because he was Jesus. He learned the scriptures. If Jesus will learn the scripture, if Jesus will read the scrolls, he learned the Old Testament. He quoted the Old Testament not because God put it in his brain, because he read it. And that's why he could quote scripture and say, "Haven't you read?" A scripture where Jesus made references, asking the Pharisee, "Haven't you read? For it has been written." Why? Because he read what was written. He read what was written. He says here in Mark 12 and verse 24, "Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scripture, neither the power of God." Ye know not the scripture, because the scripture is the power of God. So he learned. He was telling them, "You make mistakes because you don't know." He said to the devil, "For it has been written." Why could he say to the devil? When the devil came to tempt him in Luke chapter 4, one of the ways he answered the devil was according to what he learned. When the devil said, "Turn this stone to bread," the Bible says he answered the devil and said unto him, "For it has been written, a man shall not live by bread alone." How did he come to know? In Luke chapter 2, we saw that he learned from doctors. People who had PhD in the scroll of the scripture, in the Old Testament, they are called doctors. So he learned from them. That was why he could say, "It has been written, for haven't you read?" He answered them in so many scriptures. In so many scriptures, Jesus made references to "it has been written." Very common with Jesus. "For it has been written, haven't you read?" I'm trying to bring out one of the scriptures where Jesus says, "Have you not read? Have you not read?" Praise God. But one of the scriptures is in Luke chapter 4. Okay, he said, "Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." He said it about 3 times. "It is written, it is written." Now, the Bible in Romans 15 said the things that were written aforetime for our learning. Christ was able to use the things that were written to confront the devil because he read, he learned the things. So the only way to get power from the written words of the word of God is to learn it. And so when you learn it by understanding, you can use it to confront any situation. It is what you learn that you know. It is what you know that you apply. When you apply it, you get victory. Praise God. And so we could see clearly in the scripture that even Christ took time. Now, if Christ, who had all the anointing, the Son of God, will learn the scripture, who is an average man not to learn it? Christ learned the scripture. He sat among doctors. He for 30 years, that was what he was doing. For 30 years, all that he was doing was he was learning. For 30 years of his life, beginning from year 12, because at this place he was about 12 years old in Luke chapter. So remove 12 minus 30, that's about 17 years of learning. 17 years of learning. So he knew all the scripture. He was quoting all the scriptures to them. He was learning. The Bible says he always come into the synagogue. They will give him scriptures to read. He had always been coming. And one day when he came, the Bible says, according to his custom, according to his custom, he comes to the temple. It was when they say something about according to his custom, it means the way he does it all the time. So he came that day and they gave him the scroll. And when they gave him the scroll, he opened Isaiah 61 and he began to quote. It was the culture of Jesus to attend the reading of the scripture in the synagogue. It was his culture from year 12. It was his culture. And what he did call learning, he said, learning is my father's business. He said, it is not time that I go about my father's business. If you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Which ye know not that I must be about my father's business? So he called sitting to learn the scripture his father's business. It's sitting to acquire knowledge of the scripture. He called it his father's business. And so one of the things he took as priority was a constant attendance, constant focus, constant regular. You know that scripture said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading. This was what Jesus was doing. He was perpetually giving attendance. When his mother came to him and said, you have been looking for you 3 days. He said, don't you know it is time I go about my father's business? He was not healing anybody. He was not doing miracle. What he called the father's business was not preaching, because he wasn't preaching. What he called the father's business was learning. Don't you know it's time I go about my father learning to grow into what God has designed me to do? That's what Jesus was saying. And so we must come to this awareness. Now, finally, I'm going to give us another tip, which is the person of the Holy Spirit. You cannot learn anything without the Holy Spirit. It says, for I will give you a comforter. John 14 and from verse 10. Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Very, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and the works that I do also, the greater work than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And wheresoever ye ask in my name, I will give unto you. Now, verse 16, he said, I pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter. He shall abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seen him not, neither knoweth him. But ye shall know him, he dwelleth with you, and I shall be in you. Praise the Lord. Now, he began to speak with them here, to them, about the person of the Holy Spirit, which will come and teach them deep things. Verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bringing all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I will read it again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. He shall teach you all things. So you can't talk about learning without the Holy Spirit. You can't talk about learning in any format. As far as the scriptures, you can learn other things without the Holy Spirit. As far as the scriptures is concerned, the only personality that can help you see depth into the scripture is the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So one of our greatest mentor, teacher in the place of learning is the Holy Spirit. And that's why when you want to learn the scripture, you first invite him to teach you. You invite him to open you up and give you understanding. John 16 and verse 13. How be it when he said, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you. How will he show you? When you learn from him. It is learning from him that will make him show you. Now, this is very key. Look at verse 12. I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. What is he saying? I have many things to show. You can't learn them now. They are too deep. You can't learn them. They are too deep. They understand. Their understanding was too small. They cannot learn. They can't bear those things. They can't learn them. He said, verse 13, but how be it? The Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. That time they will be able to learn. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever things he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Praise God. He will show you. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shew it unto you. And so when Christ was saying, learn of me, this is what he was talking about. He will receive the things that are from about Christ. He will show them unto us as we come to learn of Christ. Praise God. As the Lord begins to open us up to this understanding and the revelation of learning, we must come to recognize one personality, Jesus. I mean, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a great, you can't do without him. He is the key personality. He is the key personality when it comes to knowledge. When it comes to impartation, he is the key personality. Without him, you'll be deceiving yourself. You can't learn. He says there are things you cannot bear. You can't learn because the Holy Spirit has not come. When you come, he is the one that will incline your mind unto learning. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is to put the desire, the yearning for learning. That's what we call the yearning. Yearning means to desire, to test after something. So one of the things the Holy Spirit does to you is to put upon your spirit the desire, the task, the quest, the inquisitive for learning. And so when the Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatever thing he shall hear, that he shall speak, he will show unto you things to come. How? Through learning. Not prophecy, not vision. Through learning of the scripture. It is the scripture that were written and spoken about Christ. Praise God. So these things are very key for us to understand, and that our mind will become so opened to this clear understanding. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's look at John chapter 6 and verse 45. John 6, 45. It is written in the prophet that ye shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, come unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is come, which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Now, what is this scripture saying? If you look at it from verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, that's Moses, the book of Moses, the book of Isaiah, that's what it means by the prophets. And they shall be all taught of God. They shall be. This place is talking about the emergence, the arrival of the Holy Spirit to the church, where the Bible says the knowledge of God will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. The knowledge of the word of God will cover. So that he's talking about, you know, the provision of the Holy Spirit here. See, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, comment. Now, you cannot come until you learn. This is what scripture. You look at that scripture. Every man, therefore, that has heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. That is, he said, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which come of the Father. He hath seen the Father. So, how do we see the Father that we may come? It is through what we learn. He said, for the prophets prophesy that everyone will be taught of God. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Everyone will be taught. We will come to understand. We will come to awareness. Full awareness. Full revelation. Every one of them. That that they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learnt of the Father, cometh unto me. How are we going to learn and hear of the Father? Through the personality of the Holy Spirit and the instrument of study materials like the Bible. They will all come. As they learn, they will all come. There will be desire. There will be a drawing. It is the amount of revelation that is exposed to you through learning that draws you. He said, they are the ones whom the Father, look at it, not man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. How are they drawn? As they learn, they are drawn. As they learn, they are drawn. As they learn, they are drawn. So what's the meaning of that? Ignorance keep you away. Knowledge bring you close. Ignorance keep you far. It is knowledge that bring you close. He says, and every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. As they grow, as they advance in revelation, in knowledge, in learning, they come unto the Father. I pray the Lord will open our understanding. As we begin to grow in wisdom, in knowledge and understanding, our minds will be exposed in the name of Jesus. Our understanding will be exposed in the name of Jesus. And so we can't joke. And that's why it is not good for a believer not to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is not a good thing not to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was at the baptism of the Holy Spirit that the church started. He is the inaugurator of the church. He is the teacher of the church. A church where they don't teach, they have denied the Holy Spirit of its function. A church where they don't teach the scripture, the function of the Holy, one of the function of the Holy Spirit is not only prophesying or giving vision, is to actually expose people to the knowledge of the scripture. Praise God. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, to speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are on land and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. This is very powerful. Verse 16. You see, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understood, which they that are on land, those who refuse to learn these things, those who refuse to learn the things that Apostle Paul, like we have so many people who are refusing to learn the truth of the scripture. They choose to follow the doctrine given to the Jews in Leviticus. Women should not come into this church with menstruation. They choose to follow after traditions, after law. Now, Peter is saying here, he said, even our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. What were the things that Paul wrote? He was the one that wrote most of the epistles. Because God gave him wisdom to write. So his teachings are to be followed. He said, but also in all his epistles, speaking in them of the things, in which some things are hard to be understood. His teachings are so deep. Which they that are on land, it is hard to be understood for they that refuse to learn. They refuse to come to a comprehension. It was too hard. It's too hard for them. They cannot come. He said, which they that are on land and unstable rest, they fight against it. When you are teaching these things today, because they are not learned enough, they have not learned, they fight it. When you preach the New Testament, the gospel of grace, they fight it. They say you are giving people license to sin. When you teach them that Jesus has delivered us from the curse of the law, nobody is under curse. Women are liberated. Galatians 3 verse 27, with under Christ, in Christ, there is no male, there is no female. They wrestle against it. Look at what the Bible says. As they do also the other scriptures. That's what they do. They rest to their own is to fight the scripture. These are people who look at the scripture from the lens of tradition. They look at the scripture from a tradition, a cultural point of view, not from revelation, because what Paul had was revelation, unto their own destruction. So they destroy themselves because they are unlearned, they are unstable, they rest, they fight the scripture. I'm going to read it from this version of the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And remember, our Lord patient gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him. Speaking of these things in all his letters, some of his comments are hard to understand. And those who are ignorant, unstable, have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of scripture. And this will result in their destruction. Praise God. They turn the scripture upside down. They turn it. There's a commentary. I say, by the time Peter's writing, Paul's letters already had a widespread reputation. Notice that Peter spoke of Paul's letter as if they were a level with other parts of scripture. Already the early church was thinking of Paul's letter as inspired by God. Now, the people who were unlearned, they changed it, they twisted the scripture, they turned it around for their own destruction. So, not to learn scripture and to use the scripture is using it unto one's destruction. It can be very dangerous. It can be very dangerous because they are on land. They have refused to learn the scripture. The Lord will open our understanding in the name of Jesus. And so, as we begin to advance in this study, in this understanding, we'll begin to look more deeper into the advantage